without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also be of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the First Testament was dedicated, talking about the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, whereupon neither the First Testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without a doubt, the blood of Jesus Christ is the most precious gift that the Heavenly Father has given to the church and to the world for that matter. Yet, I feel that there's so few Christians who actually understand the value and the virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ. As Christians, we often sing about, and we should and do sing about, the power of the blood. We sang this morning about the cross. We sang this morning about the blood of Jesus. I mean, the great anthem of the Pentecostal church for many, many years has been and is, "There's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb." So we preach the blood and we sing about the blood and we talk about the blood. But most believers seldom enter into the power of that precious blood of Jesus. We simply don't comprehend the great significance that the blood of Jesus has for us. I mean, we've been taught and we've been told years gone by, we've been taught to plead the blood of Jesus. When the enemy would come against us, or we would be under attack, we were told by our grandma and grandpa and our parents, "Hey, plead the blood of Jesus." Anything wrong with that? And absolutely not. There's power in the blood, and thank God we were taught to plead the blood. But I think sometimes Christians get a hold of that and they think that it's some kind of mystical formula of protection, that all we have to do is just say, "I plead the blood, I plead the blood." And there's nothing wrong with pleading the blood, as I say, but very few Christians can actually explain the glory or the benefits that belong to us because of the blood of Jesus. It's good to plead the blood, but we need to understand what that blood represents, and we need to understand the power of the blood and the effectiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ in our life. I thank God that we are still a church that preaches the blood of Jesus. We are still a church that believes in the blood of Jesus, a church that sings about the cross and the blood of Jesus. And praise God, I'm telling you that, you know, there are a lot of churches that have ceased to do that, but we will not forget the cross and we will not forget the blood of Christ. We cannot, we must not, because of the importance and the validity that is in the precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I were to ask you this morning what the power of the blood of Jesus means, you might answer, well, it means that my sins are forgiven, and it means that I'm free from the bondage of iniquity, and that all my sins are covered. And that is all true, and that is so important. But yet, when it comes to something beyond forgiveness, what does the blood of Jesus Christ mean to you? Can you explain the value and the virtue of the blood of Jesus Christ in your life? See, I believe that we must have a greater understanding today as Pentecostal believers, as men and women of God, that we must have a greater understanding of the preciousness of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we must have a greater understanding of the changes that the blood of Jesus can affect in our life and can have in our life. Now, the Bible speaks of the blood, I mean, from the very beginning all the way through. Genesis 3:15 was the first mention of the cross and of the blood, the prophecy that God gave when he spoke the judgment upon Satan, upon the serpent. And he said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise your head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The bruising of the heel, God was saying, was right there in the very beginning in the garden. God was pointing to the cross. He was pointing to Calvary, to the fact that Satan would bruise the heel of Jesus at Calvary. But by the bruising of that heel, he would bring about his own demise, because through the death of Christ on the cross, through the sacrifice that he would make, through the shedding of his blood, that Christ Jesus would crush and bruise the head of the serpent. Hallelujah. So the blood of Jesus Christ, we see from the very beginning, from the acceptance of the offering of Abel when he offered a lamb. Hallelujah. When he offered that lamb as that sacrifice. The Bible speaks of the blood throughout, from Genesis to Revelation. It's a book of blood. Someone said one time, take that Bible and cut it anywhere and it will bleed. Hallelujah. Because it's without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, our forgiveness, our cleansing from sin today. It has to be by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the Bible speaks of blood all throughout the Word of God. But there's two ways that the blood is spoken of in the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. The Bible speaks of the blood as being shed and as being sprinkled. Amen. Now, most of us know about the blood of Jesus being shed for us. We sang this morning about the blood being shed for us. We understand the fact that the blood of Jesus was shed for us at Calvary. I mean, at the last Passover, and here we are celebrating the Lord's Supper this morning, the communion. And at the last Passover, Jesus, when he had supped with the disciples, he lifted up the cup, and the cup of the fruit of the vine, of the juice. He lifted up that cup and he said to them, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So we remember that when we take communion this morning, when we observe the Lord's Supper today. We are doing it in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. We remember his sacrifice every time we take communion. We know about the blood being shed. We know about what happened at the cross. We look back at Calvary and we remember that the blood of Jesus was given freely for us. And we know about the blood being shed, but not many. There are many who know nothing about, even though the blood was shed, they know nothing about the sprinkling of the blood. They know nothing about the fact that the blood is to be sprinkled. And the Bible speaks of the blood in both respects, both in the fact that it was shed and that it was sprinkled. Now, the first reference to this sprinkling of the blood is found in the book of Exodus, in the 12th chapter of Exodus. And it's in the story of the Passover. And I think that we're all familiar with the story of the Passover. God told Moses that the children of Israel, each family was to take a lamb. And that they were to take that lamb on the 10th day of the month and put that lamb aside. It had to be a lamb that was without a blemish. Had to be a lamb that was without a spot. Had to be a lamb that was pure. And they took that lamb on the 10th day and set it, laid it up for 4 days until the 14th day. It was inspected minutely to make sure that there was no spot or blemish on it in any way. And then on the 14th day of that month, which is our month of April, on the 14th day, God said that they were to kill the sacrifice. They were to kill the lamb and drain the blood of that lamb into a basin. But then they were to do something else. After they took that blood and drained it into the basin, they were to take a bunch of hyssop. And they were to dip that hyssop branch into the blood of that slain lamb. And they were to strike, the King James says to strike, the doorposts and the lintels of every house, of each one of their houses. That word strike means to splatter or to sprinkle. They were to sprinkle that blood on the lintel and on the two side posts of their front door. Because that night God said that the destroyer's going to pass through the land. The death angel's going to come through. And every place that the blood has been applied to the doorpost, the death angel would not be allowed to come into that house. Every place where the blood was not applied, the firstborn son of that family would die that night. But he said, When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Hallelujah. That's where the name Passover came from. And that night when the death angel came and he saw the blood on the doorposts of every house, every place where the blood was, he would pass over that house. Now I want you to understand something this morning, that as long as the blood of that lamb was left in that basin, it was of no effect whatsoever. It was merely blood that had been shed. It was blood of a lamb, a pure lamb, a spotless lamb that had been shed. But listen to me, that blood had power to save only when it was lifted out of that basin and it was sprinkled on that house. In other words, the blood had to be applied in order for the blood to be effective. Hallelujah. It was made very clear through what the Lord said to Moses and what Moses said to the children of Israel. It was made very clear that nothing except the blood of the Passover lamb was going to save that firstborn from death that night. No mere good intentions or good deeds or attempts to live a life of virtue would preserve the firstborn children from that sudden death on that grim and that fateful night. Nothing but the blood would protect them. And not just or only the blood shed, but the blood must be applied. I received a phone call last week, I believe it was, from a young man in Michigan. I knew this young man when he was in high school. He lived in Farmington, went to Farmington High School. I was friends with his family and knew him. And now he's a young man. He's married, has a family of his own. He's living in Michigan. And he contacted me through Facebook, said, "I need to talk to you." And so I sent him my cell phone number, and he called me one day last week. And he told me, he said, "Well, you know, I guess you see from my Facebook page, from the posts on my Facebook, that I'm quite involved in a church up here." And I said, "Yeah, I saw that." I said, "That's great. I'm glad to see that." And so he talked for a moment and he said, "Well, Rick," he said, "I'm struggling with something." He said, I need some help in an area, because he said, "I'm really struggling with the fact that Jesus is the only way to be saved. That he's the only way of salvation." He said, "I'm struggling with that." Well, you know, that's right up my alley. Because I immediately began then to share with him the Word of God. I told him first of all, John 14:6, where Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me." And I just maybe take a little side journey here if I can. I believe that that is Jesus is. Jesus Christ is the only way. He's not a way. He's not one of the ways. But He is the way. He is the only way. Amen? And we're going to stand on that. We're going to believe on that. There is no other way to heaven. And I gave him that verse of scripture. I gave him Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, where the Bible said, Peter said, there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. He is the only way. Then I took this young man to Exodus chapter 12, the very passage that I'm talking about today. I referred him to the children of Israel in bondage in Egypt and slavery. And he said, yes, I'm familiar with that. I said, well, listen, I said, if you read that story, you find out that there were 9 plagues, there were 9 miracles that God sent, 9 judgments that He brought upon Egypt and on Pharaoh. And I said, there, out of all of those judgments and plagues, not one of them was able to free Israel from their captivity and from their bondage in Egypt. But I said, that 10th one, hallelujah, I said, when they took that lamb and they slit the throat of that lamb and drained that blood into that basin, the night that they applied the blood of that slain lamb to the doorpost of their house, that very night, those Israelis marched out of Egypt freed because of the blood of the slain lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a type that is. What a type that is of the Lord Jesus Christ. When John, at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, when John was standing there by Jordan with his disciples and saw Jesus, he pointed to him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. He didn't say, why didn't he say, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Because Jesus did not come as a lion. I'm going to tell you, He's a lion tonight. But praise God, He came as the Lamb. He came as the Lamb to shed His blood for the sins of the world. Hallelujah. It's the blood, and it's only through the blood. Well, praise God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. No good intentions or good deeds. No good moral life. No religious ritual that anybody can go through. No confessional in a confession booth. Even partaking of this ordinance of the Lord's Supper, or being baptized in water, or being confirmed into a church. None of those things can save. Are you hearing me today? Only faith in Christ and His shed blood is the only thing that can set the captive free from the powers of sin and darkness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it's the blood shed, and it's also the blood applied. See, the Israelites could not have simply laid that basin of blood on the threshold of the door and said, well, it doesn't matter what we do with it. It really doesn't matter what we do with it. We kill the lamb. The blood was shed. We'll collect it in the basin. But I don't know, really. I really don't know. Just imagine if some of the families would have said, I just freshly painted my door. And I really don't want to splatter a bunch of lamb's blood all over it. This is kindly messy. And it doesn't look real nice. It's kindly grotesque, to slaughter lamb and then throw this blood and sprinkle this blood on the door. Let me tell you something this morning, church. Sin is messy. Sin is a messy business. And there was only one thing that could pay the price for sin. There was only one sacrifice. There was only one way that God could deal with sin. And it had to be through the blood of the Son of God being shed on Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. What if they would have just taken that basin of blood and said, we will put it on a pedestal and we'll set it just inside the door, or we'll put it on the kitchen table. We'll just do it that way because we don't want to mess up the outside of our house. If they would have done that, the death angel would have come through that night and their home would have been stricken. And the firstborn son in that house would have lost his life and would have died. And judgment would have fell on that home. Why? Because without the blood applied, even though that it had been shed, if the blood was not applied, they would have been unprotected from the death angel. Even though the blood had been shed. I feel like there's a lot of people in that category tonight or today, this morning. They're in that same boat. They're in that same situation. Well, we believe in the cross. We believe that Jesus died. We believe that He shed His blood. He made that sacrifice, that the blood was shed 2,000 years ago. We believe all of that. And you know what? There's a lot of false hopes that people have today and beliefs that they believe. A lot of people think that they're saved. They believe that they're saved because they believe that 2,000 years ago, Jesus died. There's a lot of people that believe that Jesus died 2,000 years ago. There's a lot of people that believe the blood was shed 2,000 years ago. There's a lot of people, if you ask them that question, do you believe Jesus died on the cross? Yeah, I believe that He did. But that will not in itself save them. The blood was shed, but it has to be personally applied to the life of that individual. It has to be applied. Nothing else will do. But the blood. They would have been left unprotected. And there's so many that are out from under the blood. Even though the price has been paid. And I know there's teaching today. And there's teaching of universalism. Ultimate. The doctrine of what is called ultimate reconciliation. That Jesus paid for the sins of the world. And paid the price and atoned for the sins of the world upon the cross 2,000 years ago. And because of that, some teach that because of that fact alone, that everybody is already saved. That everybody's going to make heaven. One preacher preached that even Satan will be allowed to go into heaven in the end. Rob Bell wrote a book called Love Wins, where he teaches that very thing. It became a very popular book. A lot of churches and Christians bought that book, read that book, believed that book. Said God loves the human race too much to let anybody die lost, to go to hell. Jesus paid the price on Calvary, so He says that love wins out in the end, that everybody will be reconciled, everybody will be saved, nobody will be lost, nobody will go to heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. Just the fact of the blood being shed is not going to save one single person. Has the price been paid? You better believe a great price has been paid. But just that fact in itself alone will not buy you or me or anybody else a ticket into heaven. I have to personally believe. I've got to personally take my faith and apply that blood to my heart and life. There's got to be some hyssop dipped in that basin and the doorposts of my heart and life smeared and sprinkled and splattered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The blood of that Passover lamb in Exodus 12 is a type of the blood of Jesus. That lamb was a type of the blood of Jesus and the death of Christ. The blood flowed. The blood that flowed from Calvary was not wasted. I want you to understand that today. That blood that flowed from Calvary was not wasted. I don't know exactly how the Lord did it, but I don't believe that it was just shed and spilt and wasted and it went to nothing. Some way, somehow, I believe that blood was collected in a heavenly basin, just as the blood of that Passover lamb was collected. And I believe that when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that the doorposts of your heart, hallelujah, is sprinkled by that same precious blood that was shed at Calvary. I believe that when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you are covered by the blood of the Lamb. When you place your faith in Him and what He did at the cross, praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The sprinkling, the application of that blood provided protection for Israel that night. Amen? Provided protection from death. When you're sprinkled with the blood, now I'm talking spiritually, you are totally under the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ against all. Oh, you're not hearing. Against all of the destroying powers of darkness. You understand you've been delivered from the power of darkness. You've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And it's made power possible by what? In whom? Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Some of the, even the remission of sin. Some of the modern translations delete part of that verse. Some of the modern translation says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. In Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. And they take out the part that says, in whom we have redemption by His blood. I just read it to you from Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no redemption. There is no salvation. It's all by the blood. Amen. And when we place our faith in Christ and we have the blood applied to our life, there is protection. When the forces of darkness see the blood of Christ that's been applied to our hearts and our lives, they've got to pass by. Do you know there's a hedge around you? Do you know there's a covering? I know some preachers say, I've got Pastor so-and-so's my covering. Some pastors say, my denomination is my covering. Can I tell you something today? That there is no preacher that is my covering. Can I tell you that the Pentecostal Church of God, the organization which I am ordained with, is not my covering. My covering today is none other. I've got a better covering than the PCG. My covering is the blood, the blood, the blood. Applied to my heart and to my life. Hallelujah. He's sprinkled me with His blood. There is a hedge that is around you, church, child of God. When the blood has been applied to your life, Satan trembles in fear. Oh, I like to tell him. Devil, can't touch this. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. It's been applied to my heart. It's been applied to my life. Hallelujah! Just move on by, devil. I am covered by His precious blood. I'm protected. I'm safe. Amen. I'm secure. Well, Pastor, do you believe in eternal security? Yes, I do believe. I don't believe it's unconditional, but I believe that as long as I stay in the house covered by the blood, hallelujah, and don't go outside of the blood, He will keep me. He will keep me safe. He will keep me secure. He will keep me protected. Praise God, the blood of Jesus has set us free. It's applied to our life. Amen. And they put that door over their door frame of their house. They went inside and they had a feast and they ate the body of that lamb. And the instruction to Israel was, don't go outside. Stay in the house. See, praise God. Just because, what if they applied the blood to their house, but then they said, well, it's midnight, I'm going to go outside. And see, they're out from under the protection. You've got to stay under the blood, under the protection. Keep it applied by your faith in what He did, what Jesus did at Calvary. Amen. Is this okay for a little simple Bible study this morning? Praise God. I've got to close here. We're getting Got to get communion. The sprinkling of blood was for protection. The sprinkling of blood was also for communion. I don't have time to read all the verses, but read them when you get home today or this afternoon or tomorrow from Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 through 11. Because in those verses, God called Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, and he called 70 of the elders of Israel to come up to the mountain. But he said in verse 1, he said, call them up to the Lord and worship ye afar off. And only Moses could go alone to be near the Lord. But God said concerning Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders, they shall not come nigh, neither go up with him. So Moses went up to the mount. Nadab, Abihu, Aaron, and the 70 elders stayed below. They were not allowed to come near the Lord. And so God gave Moses the commandments of the Lord. And Moses came back down the mountain and he read those words and gave those words to the children of Israel. And all the words that the Lord said to them, they heard Moses give the commands of God, and all of Israel made a covenant with God. And they said, all that he has commanded us, we will do. We will be obedient. We will do that. The Bible says that Moses sent young men of the children of Israel to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. When he came back down, they offered sacrifice. There was blood that was shed. And I'm going to tell you, all of those Old Testament sacrifices were types of Jesus' death at Calvary. Every bullock, every goat, every sheep, everything that was slaughtered on the altar in the tabernacle and the blood that was shed was a type of Christ's death on the cross to atone for sin. They offered those peace offerings and oxen to the Lord. And the Bible said that Moses took half the blood. And this is what was referred to in the text that I read to you from Hebrews chapter 9. Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins. And half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said we will do and we will be obedient. And Moses took the blood. Listen, Exodus 24 and 8. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. And said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. Verse 9, are you with me? Listen, I'm bringing this to a close, so I want you to get this. And then went up Moses. They got it on the screen. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. I want you to notice something there, that Moses was the only one that could go up into that mountain at the very beginning. Those 70 elders and Nadab and Abihu and Aaron could not come nigh to the presence of God. They had to stay afar off. But there was something that happened, because here in verse 8, something took place where now Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and all 70 of those elders came right on up with Moses, and they saw the God of Israel walking down from heaven on a sapphire highway. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory to God. They saw him in all the clearness. those men sat down with Almighty God and had dinner with him. Somebody needs to shout amen today. What was it that made the difference? What was it that gave them access into the very presence of God? It was the fact there was blood that was shed and there was blood that was sprinkled on the people that removed their sin and opened up the way for them to go into the presence of God. Woo! I remind you today, that was Old Testament stuff. But I remind you that we have a better covenant established on better promises, sealed and ratified by better blood than the blood of goats and sheep and oxen. For it was not possible, Paul said in Hebrews, that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Oh, hallelujah. But this man, Jesus, when he offered his own self through the eternal Spirit and shed his precious blood, he made one sacrifice. See, that priest had to make sacrifices continually, all the time, every day. There were sacrifices, people bringing their bullocks. There were sacrifices. Once a year, that high priest, once a year, would kill the sin offering, apply that blood to his own life. Then he was made worthy to go inside the veil, inside the Holy of Holies. Nobody else could go in there except the high priest. And only on the Day of Atonement, with the blood in his hand, of that sacrifice. And I'm telling you, when that high priest went in there on the Day of Atonement, the Bible said that the blood that was shed was put in a basin. But then when he got in before the Ark of the Covenant, that beautiful ark which wherewith the mercy seat was on the top, and the golden cherubims overspread that mercy seat, with those cherubims looking down upon that mercy seat, and inside that ark contained those tablets of stone, those commandments that nobody could keep, that nobody could obey, that they broke every single day of their life. But all on that Day of Atonement, that high priest went in with blood that was shed. And what did he do? Leviticus 16 says that he took his finger and dipped it in the blood of that sacrifice and sprinkled. Not one time, not two times, not three times, but seven times. He sprinkled the blood of the sacrifice upon the mercy seat of that ark, and atonement was made for the sins of Israel for one more year. He had to do it again the next year. I've got some good news today. Our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, went into the heavenly Holy of Holies with his own precious blood that was shed at Calvary, and sprinkled that blood of the mercy seat in heaven, and sat down. I said, sat down on the right hand of God. Hallelujah! It's finished! It's finished! It's finished! It's finished! Woo! Out of all the sacrifice, or out of all the furniture in that tabernacle and in that temple, in that holy place, in Holy of Holies, we all know what was there, but there was one piece of furniture that was missing from the tabernacle of the Old Testament. There was no chair. There was no seat. There was no sitting down. Because the sacrifice of the blood of the bulls and the goats had to be repeated over and over and over and over again. But this man, Hebrews said, but this man, Jesus Christ, when he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, just waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Hallelujah! I'm telling you, glory to God, the blood, the blood, the blood is all sufficient. Come on, let's stand and praise the Lord today. Let's praise Him for the blood. Let's praise Him for the blood. Let's praise Him for the preciousness of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. They had access. Moses and Nadab and Abihu, they had access to the presence of God. And now, because of the blood that's been sprinkled on us, that has been placed in our heart and life, we can now go boldly, with ease, without fear of judgment, into the presence of God and have communion with Him and fellowship with Him. We've been given access to Him because the blood has taken away the sin, and we're free from condemnation to go into the presence of Almighty God and fellowship with Him and sup with Him and Him with us. I don't have to march up to Mount Zion to sit and feast with God on that mountain. Because, we sang about it today, because that veil has been torn. Amen. When Jesus said, Amen. It is finished. That 4 to 6 inch thick veil that separated the holy place from that holy of holies was ripped. Nobody touched it. There was darkness, and there was an earthquake, and the mountains quaked, and the mountains and rent, and all of a sudden, two great big invisible hands reached down in that tabernacle and grabbed that veil and tore it in half and opened up that holy place. You know why? Because it was accomplished. It was finished. When Jesus died on the cross, when He shed His blood, it was opened up now. Anybody, it doesn't have to be a priest. We are all kings and priests. We're all priests unto the Lord now through Jesus Christ. And now I don't have to have a priest to go for me. I don't have to go have a priest or a preacher or anybody else to go in my place. I can, you can. The newest born babe in Christ can go freely and without condemnation into the very presence of God with boldness by the blood of Jesus, He said in Hebrews 10:19, I believe it is. Because of the blood. So I can sup with Him every day. I got up early this morning, went in my prayer room at home, and guess what I did? I walked right into the Holy of Holies. I walked right into the Holy. You mean your prayer room at home is the Holy of Holies? Oh, yes, it is. And so is yours. Amen. Where's my Holy of Holies? Anywhere that you can go and shut the door and say, Father, in the name of Jesus. You're immediately in the presence of God, and you can sup with Him and Him with you and enjoy His presence and His fellowship. I'm talking about that's the power and the virtue of the blood of Jesus in your life. Not just that it's shed, but that it's sprinkled, that it's applied to your life. If you've not had it applied, it's very simple. You just, by faith, accept and receive Christ and what He did at Calvary. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Tell Him, Lord, I believe in the sacrifice You made at the cross. I believe that the blood You shed was for my sins, to atone for my sin. And now, by faith, Jesus, I accept what You did. I ask You to take Your precious blood and apply it to my heart. Wash me, Jesus, in Your holy, spotless blood. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. Cleanse me today. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You're clean today.
Amen.
If you're not, you can be. Though your sins be as scarlet, He said they'll be white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they can can be made whiter than snow because of the blood of Jesus. Have it applied today. I'm going to ask our ushers to come. I want you to bow your heads with me as the ushers are coming. They're going to serve communion, and I'm just going to pray a prayer.